pledge allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Pat.
Bowman.
Present.
Shoup.
Here.
McNaughton.
Here.
Moblow.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Place.
Here.
Jeff Ross.
Here.
Monica Ross.
Here.
Van Domlin.
Here.
All right. Mr. Chairman, if I may,
yes.
Make a little acknowledgement of Pat Haver.
Yes.
This is her last meeting with us that she's going to be retiring.
Okay.
Just to personally thank her for all the great work she's done for me and the city over the last 15 years. Pretty much appreciated.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, please.
All right, let's move on to consent agenda. Move on to the board of absences. Correct, Pat? Approval of minutes from March 21st, 2022.
I have a correction.
Okay.
Under good of the order, it said that I indicated that I would be available for the RRC training, and that's not true. I said no to vote.
No to vote?
No.
Okay.
I thought you went down to one of them in Frankenmuth.
But that wasn't the RRC training that,
gotcha.
That we held here.
Okay. I will make that change.
Chair, I'd like to recuse myself just because I wasn't here.
I understand. Myself as well. That's fine. Any other?
I'll make a motion to approve minutes as presented with the noted corrections from Monica.
All right, a second. A motion, a second. Roll call, Pat.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Place?
Aye.
Monica Ross?
Aye.
Van Domlin's not here. Bowman?
Yeah, aye.
Shoup?
Aye.
Moblow?
Aye.
All right. Let's move on to here, citizens present for non-agenda items. All right. Let's move on to reports, officers, boards, and standing committees. Scott?
The short-term rental work session was held, and the city commission scheduled the third, which would be on June 21st at 5:30. The commission directed staff to begin developing a working document or ordinance that they can start to review and hopefully move forward with beginning something in place.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Scott. Any other?
No.
Okay. All right. There's no unfinished business. We'll move on to new business. I do want to say when I open this to public comment, I'd like everyone to make sure to clearly say your name, your address. Keep your comments to 5 minutes. And please stay on topic. Only talk about the zoning of the project in front of us. Any other personal thing, it's really not appropriate here. Okay, so let's go on to new business A, development plan on Lost on Lake Street. Scott?
Thank you. In May of 2019, the Planning Commission approved the development plan for the property located at 100 North Lake Street, owned by Michigan Community Capital. And I provided the minutes of that meeting for you in the packet. This property is approximately a little less than an acre with 227 feet frontage on Lake Street, 198 feet on State Street, and is located in the Central Business District. The approved plan was for a 27,075 square foot three-story mixed-use building consisting of 9,025 square feet of commercial space on the first floor and a total of 32 apartments on the second and third floors. Which consists of 6 studio, 28 one-bedroom, and 8 two-bedroom. Since the approval of that plan, considerable planning and work has gone on the site. However, a zoning permit for the project was not obtained within 6 months of the development approval. So the Michigan Community Capital has been submitted to the Planning Commission for development approval. The footprint and the site layout are pretty much exactly the same as the previous plan. some changes to the interior space and mix of the apartment units has been made. The first floor layout has been changed to reduce the commercial space to 6,810 feet, and five apartments were added to that first floor. The total number of apartments has increased to 45 units, which would all be comprised of 8 studio units, 21 bedroom units, and 16 two-bedroom units. In the Central Business District, mixed-use development is a principal permitted use per Section 1020 of the Boyne City Zoning Ordinance. And while the proposed use is a use by right, the Planning Commission has no discretion in the terms of the proposed use. It may be beneficial for the Planning Commission to review the intent and purpose of the Central Business District and applicable planning documents that include the reference to this site. The first section reference is the intent and purpose of the Central Business District under Section 1010A through L, which you can see it would be a fair statement that this particular development fits well within and is consistent with all of those standards. As per the future land use map, which was updated in 2021, the subject parcels are located within the downtown core. The intent and purpose for properties located in the downtown core is described in the plan as follows. The downtown core is a historic core of the focal point of the city, providing a mix of retail, office, residential, public uses, supported by transportation systems that creates a pedestrian-friendly atmosphere. This area provides easy access to local businesses. With the enhanced streetscape environment, this plan promotes continued mixed-use development in the downtown core to reinforce unique identity and attractive pedestrian environment. This land use category is intended to encourage commercial uses, small-scale retail shopping, entertainment uses, convenience stores, office, personal business, service uses. Residential uses are encouraged on the upper floors of commercial buildings. Building heights should generally not exceed 3 stories, except where it can be demonstrated the additional height will not alter the historic character of downtown. Brick, stone, and masonry will be the primary building materials in this area to give a sense of permanence. The 100 North Lake Street parcel is specifically identified in the 2015 Boyne City Master Plan as a priority redevelopment site. The Boyne City Master Plan describes the priority development sites as follows. Priority redevelopment sites as part of the RRC Redevelopment Ready Community Certification Process, the city was required to assemble and prioritize the potential redevelopment sites. To accomplish this task, the city completed an inventory and review of all potential redevelopment sites in the city. The criteria used for the inclusion into the property list was the properties needed to be located in or close to downtown, the currently vacant unutilized land and or buildings and properties that have attributes that set it apart, such as historic designation, blank location, architecture, or other unique characteristics that would make it an important significant property. As it was designated an RRC site, it was advertised and promoted for development by the city and the state through the MEDC Building Ready Communities program. See that marketing materials there was in the packet. Since that plan approval and the plan that property was acquired, this site has been removed from one of our 3 priority sites, so it's not currently being marketed, but as it was an RRC site, that did enable it to be considered favorably for some future grants. The project area. This included in the 2006 Waterfront Master Plan, and the plan states the following for this area. Lake Street from the river to Vogel Street, this area is highly suitable for redevelopment that introduces more residential units into the downtown core and retail and other non-residential as the market may bear. This area from the river to State Street is suggested for mixed use. The plan also included conceptual design, and it's shown here with that top drawing there. The project area is also included in the 2017 Boyne on the Water Plan, which designates the east side of Lake Street for mixed use, and that is the drawing on the bottom of the page there. The project site was also specifically included in the 2018 Boyne City Parking Study as a potential future development site and forecasting the five-year scenario. The scope of the forecast and development for the project site is as follows. Site 1, potential development, 2-3-story mixed use, privately owned site on block 4, 3 floors, 69,960 square feet, 23,320 per floor of mixed use and 22 Spartan spaces. The proposed use is 3 stories, 27,000 square feet of mixed use with a total of 82 new parking spaces. The Boyne on the Water Plan also addresses the issue of parking and states the following. By eliminating parking minimums, adopting shared parking agreements, exploring pricing, on-street and off-street parking in a variable way, and reducing requirements for parking for individual developments, Boyne City can create a more vibrant, walkable, and dense core that will complement waterfront development and allow more space along the waterfront to be devoted to human scale use rather than asphalt and parking space. As mentioned previously, the proposed mixed use is a permitted principal use in the Central Business District, and as such, the Planning Commission does not have discretion regarding the use. The proposed building placement, height, lot coverage meet all the applicable requirements of Boyne City Article 20 Schedule Regulations. In addition to these requirements, the project is subject to the Central Business District design requirements of Section 10.5. And the development plan, the requirements of Article 19. The Planning Commission's authority and discretion is limited to the application of the specific standards listed in these reference sections. One area the Planning Commission does have discretion is provided in Section 19.40T in determining the amount of parking the development should provide. The proposed parking for the proposed use is less than the ordinance standards of Article 24, and the applicants have requested the Planning Commission approve the reduction and or waiver of spaces as per Sections 24.20F and 10.5M. In 2019, the Planning Commission reviewed the proposed plan, and it was asked specifically by the development team if the proposed parking was sufficient for the proposed uses. It was a finding of the commission that the proposed parking plan was sufficient and indicated that the 20% reduction as per Section 24F was applicable, and the Planning Commission found there was rationale for reducing the parking requirements as per Section 10.5. In this case, the exact parking space requirements of the proposed use have not been determined as the end user of the commercial space is unknown. Given this unknown, assumptions were necessary to calculate parking space counts. As the proposed commercial space is expected to have a mix of commercial uses that are anticipated to include retail, office, and restaurant, the parking requirements were calculated by dividing the commercial space into three equal parts and calculating individual parking counts for each of the anticipated uses. So here are the calculations for the retail space. It's one space for every 250 square feet for times 2,270 square feet, equals 9 spaces. The office is one space for every 350 square feet, and that would require 6 spaces. The restaurant would be one space for every 100 square feet, and that would be 23 spaces. Two bedroom units require 2 spaces each, so that would be 32 spaces. And studio and one bedroom require 1.5 spaces per unit, and that would be 44 spaces for a total of 114 total spaces. The application of the 20% reduction as per 24.20F would reduce the total calculated parking to 91 spaces. The proposed project will include the development of 69 off-street private parking spaces and 13 on-street public parking for a total of 82 new parking spaces. While the on-street spaces will remain public, the addition of the spaces to the overall parking supply can be one of the factors the Planning Commission considers in making a finding that a lesser number of parking spaces are needed as per 10.5 now. with a 20% reduction as per 2420F, and the 82 provided parking spaces, the proposed development would require a waiver of 9 spaces. It should be noted that the changes into the commercial space and residential units resulted in a parking demand reduction of 4 spaces from what was previously approved. The Planning Commission can also refer to the 2018 City Parking Study and make a finding. The study includes assessments of the overall study area and the core downtown area. The property is located outside the core area and specifically shown as development site 1 on Act 6 of page 33 of the parking study. The study says the following about the parking turnover and occupancy and parking demand. Turnover and occupancy summary, the number of spaces occupied at peak time in downtown Gordon City are relatively low. The peak overall occupancy was 39%, with 647 of the 1,622 spaces occupied. When we analyze the results for the core area, we see that the peak overall occupancy increases to 52%, with 408 of the 782 spaces occupied. This tells us that there is still sufficient parking in the downtown area available during peak hours, though all parking may not be available for all users. Additionally, the public parking may not be located as most convenient spaces for all destinations. And in the parking demand, the current daytime parking situation in the entire study area was calculated to show that the overall surplus is 765 spaces. When looking at the core area, the surplus is only 302 spaces. Currently, there is parking located within a couple of blocks of all areas to handle shortages. As development continues and additional businesses come to Boyne City, there is potential for an increase in the intensity, number of people visiting each land use, and overall land uses. Therefore, it's important to constantly monitor the parking system and update the demand model with any changes to the parking supply or land use. The updated model should then be compared to the occupancy count and the parking system. As suggested by the parking demand summary, the parking demand model was updated and to include the impacts of proposed development for this block, and the existing parking demand was calculated at 30 spaces, and the existing parking supply for the block was calculated at 59 spaces for a net existing surplus of 29 spaces. Inputting the proposed uses into the model would increase demand for the block to 93 spaces and increase the supply to 128 spaces for a net surplus 35 spaces. The proposed development has significantly less floor area, 20,075 versus 69,960, and significantly larger number of parking spaces, 82 versus 22, than was modeled for the site in 5-year forecast. Due to these differences, the proposed development has a net surplus of 35 spaces as opposed to the forecast deficit of 103 spaces that was shown in the 5-year scenario that is shown on map 5.1, page 30. In addition to the parking demand model, the Planning Commission may consider the availability of public parking areas in the vicinity of the project, an inventory of all the public parking spaces that were available to the general public within a 2-minute walk of the parcel was completed. The inventory did not include spaces that were private, handicapped, or reserved. Within a 1-minute walk, 350 feet of the site, there are 108 public parking spaces. Extending out to a 2-minute walk, about 700 feet, there are over 300 spaces. To gauge the current use of the spaces in close proximity to the project, counts were obtained for several of the parking areas on the south parcel. Counts were also obtained referring to aerial images from 15 different time periods, and 32 counts were conducted over a 35-day period. These counts were done in 2019. I did not see any significant changes to the area, parking demand and supply, so I would assume that these numbers were still hold relatively true. Manual counts were completed on weekdays, either in the morning after 8 a.m. or in the afternoon prior to 4:30. The counts were obtained for the public on River Street and for the State Street, Lake Park on Park Street from State to North, and of the river and on River Street from Lake to East and Lake Street from North to, of the river to River Street. A total of 150 public parking spaces were included in the county area. Based on these observations, the average user of the entire county area was just over 35 spaces, which is approximately 23.6% of available public parking in the county area. This would leave an average of 115 spaces, or 76% of the spaces in the county area available. And the 1 and 2 minute walk map is right there. It shows you those various areas in the county. And here's the map of those county areas and the table of those calculations. So the process is the application required development plan review by the planning commission as per Article 19. And as previously noted, a very similar plan in scale and layout was approved in May 20th, 2019. And as the project is in the Main Street District, a review of the project by the Main Street Committee is required and was completed on March 7th, and those minutes have been attached. I did provide you also with the checklist that was completed when the previous plan was approved, as many of the same criteria and facts are still the same with this project, with the only really difference being that parking calculation. I believe we have representatives from Michigan Community Council. So if you want to address the commission at this point in time, or if the commission has any questions for me in regards to the report.
I have one question. When you do the availability of parking and you show the vacancy rate and all that, that's a year-round thing, isn't it? When the marina is open, those spaces are heavily used down by the marina, and they're included in the surplus other times of the year. And so I just wanted to clarify that when you do this, I think it was 39%, you're taking a year-round total, which is not necessarily reflective of the heavy season.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, there's going to be days, peak usage days, where there's not going to be that many. But looking at it on a typical day, I think is the best way to think about these numbers.
A typical non-summer day.
I would argue that the summer would be a typical weekday. These numbers would hold true. But okay. on the weekends or during events, they probably not.
Okay, I know that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other questions about the report?
I have a question. Just in regards to, since this the change is adding more residential versus commercial space, where with these parking spaces, are they overnight? Or are they only day? They're looking winter-wise. You know,
what parking space?
Some of the park overflow parking spaces for any of the residentials that may not be utilized. Like, are these mostly just business hours, or are they ones where they can leave?
You're talking about the public parking spaces? Well, the city ordinances would be in effect for public parking
spaces. Okay.
Any other questions about the report? Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Commissioner, my name is Nate Elmstead. I'm with Integrated Architecture. I'm the project architect for MCC. I apologize. I don't know if Marilyn Crowley from MCC is joining online, so I don't know if they have an opportunity to share or not. But I don't know if Rebecca, she is or not.
Okay.
I'm going to pause for that for a minute.
I didn't see anybody who wanted to join.
Okay.
The meeting,
so. Fair enough. I do want to submit for the record one quick clarification on the document you have. It does state. Proposed development size of 27,075 square feet. The actual gross square footage we're proposing is 42,795 square feet. I think what happened was the third floor was not calculated in to the total. Even so, the development size is the same as it was previously. The calculation that was put together for total retail, office, restaurant, basically commercial space is accurate as well as the count of apartments of various sizes, so the contributing parking spaces is really the same. And as you noted, the total number of spaces was reduced, the attributing factor was reduced from 118 to 114. So other than that, we're excited to be part of the team and support, excited for this project to go forward in the very near future. So I can answer other questions that are on.
And we'll ask you some questions. We'll ask you some questions after the I open it to the public and then open it up to the board for discussion.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. At this time, I'm going to open this to public comment. Again, if you have a, please stand up, say your name and address. And like I said, please keep it to the topic at hand. Is there anyone from the public that has any questions about the project or the planning of it? Yes.
Hi, my name is Sandy Pritchard. I live at 536 East Lincoln. Picking up on Monica's comment, I think there's a very different demand in the summer on parking, and I would agree that for everyone with the old slips, there are people that occupy those spaces, but you're still citing in that increase because of the spaces they're putting in, so maybe we'll be okay. But I think Marty Moody raised a good point in one of the city commission meetings about who's keeping track of all the pluses and the minuses as concessions have been made. For example, Country Now and Then, you know, we're supposedly going to come over and access a parking lot and so forth. So I think that's kind of an important thing in the big picture, because otherwise we'll be digging holes to underground parking as if all this growth occurs. Nicole asked a question, and I guess I don't know the answer to that about snow plowing and use of public spaces. What is that ordinance?
Okay, just direct questions to
me.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
And I will find out and I will get the answer.
Okay. All right, so that's my question, because I don't, for the purposes of this conversation, to know what happens in the wintertime. And then a question specifically for MCC, when we're talking about the office, retail, and restaurant space that's kind of TBD. At this point, what has been their experience? We're showing a third, a third, a third for this location. And there are other developments that are rather similar. What has that mixed ratio actually turned out to be? Because I know one of the major factors in changing this and adding the extra 5 units was because they were having difficulty in some of their other locations. And in order to make their financial model work, they needed to add and change their mix of units. And see, the number of two-bedroom units went way up.
Sure.
So, thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Any other comments from the public? Yes.
So, my name is Monica Peck, and I live at 1725 Altor Strasse in Gaylord, Michigan. I'm the current library director, and I would just like to say, to show my support for this project. I think this is definitely a worthwhile cause. I think it's great that the commissioners, up to this point have been supportive of this project. I think it's important to remember that what situation we're in when it comes to housing in our community. I know Aaron had asked us not to get personal, but that's part of the reason why my husband and I don't live in Boyne City. We would love to, but we can't find a place to live. I understand that a project like this isn't a cure-all and it's not going to fix everything, but it certainly does help. So when you're looking at a difference of, you know, what was it, like 8 or 9 parking spaces versus adding this much housing, I just would hope that you would all take that into consideration in your decision-making process.
Yep.
So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Scott.
I'm Scott McKenzie, 847 West of Division Street. Thank you, Mr. McPherson. That was a very thorough summary of this project from going years back. Thank you, commissioners, for your willingness to sit in and do this job. It's not an easy one. I think one of the things I heard Mr. McPherson say, going back to 2006, so what is that, 16, 18 years we've been working on trying to find solutions to workforce and available housing in our community. It's one of the things on the Boyne City goals. Here is now an opportunity for us to address, and I agree with Monica, it's not the silver bullet to solve a problem, but it's a step in the right direction. And for us to finally start working towards something that we've been talking about for all of these years, I think it would behoove us to continue to move forward. We're a very resilient community. If there are issues and problems, we will find ways to solve them. But we won't be able to solve them if we don't move forward and make some progress with this critically important issue in our community. I applaud the efforts to this point. I think taking a step backwards would be a great mistake. I'm in full support of this.
Any other public comment? Okay, I'm going to close the vote.
Yes.
Jordan.
My name is Jordan Peck, the current Point City Main Street Executive Director, and I also live at the same address as the Library Director. So, and I just want to speak to the project itself. I applaud the efforts of our Planning Commission as well as our City Commission for taking the steps that they have. Many of our downtown businesses employ individuals that are currently driving home to various cities. And thank you for taking the time. I know there are many people that are in need of this kind of development project here in downtown Boyne City. So I appreciate all that you guys have put into this. Thank you.
Okay. Yes.
I'm Jane McKenzie, and since spouses are talking, I'm going to talk. 847 West Division Street here in Boyne. Just wanted to say I strongly support this project, and I think lacking only four spaces in a downtown type location is just a small price to pay to get this increase in housing in Boyne. So, strong support.
All right, this time I'm going to close public comment, and I'm going to open it up to comment from the board. Anyone have any questions on this or discussion? I know a lot of it has been talked about, the parking. And I do want to state that we did approve a plan that needed more parking spaces than what this new plan requires. And the other thing is the parking study, if you get a chance to look through it, it does address year-round and peak times, and we're really well set according to that. Now, parking studies need to be done over and over and over again to keep current, but as of right now, we have a surplus of spaces, even during peak, but that's also within having to walk 1 or 2 minutes. But that said, there were a few questions about the snow plowing or the removal. Obviously on the private land, that's something that they would have to take care of themselves. The public spaces, there are new public spaces, so they would be taken care of by the city, is that correct?
Any public parking would be taken care of by the city, and I believe the on-street parking, there is a requirement that 2 a.m. to 7 or something like that, that they can't be on. The parking lots don't have that restriction, so
another question that was raised was the mixed use. James, you do a third, and then how this reflects on other projects that you've done. Is that just a good way of totaling for parking spaces at this point? I know that was kind of our solution for
that. That was our solution. I don't know if they can give any kind of clarity on what their experience has been.
I can't speak exactly to every single experience that they've had, but I do know that the projects that we have worked on have had a mix, particularly working on a project with them in Lansing. They have about, there's some office space there, there's a coffee shop that are committed. Our project with them in Mount Pleasant has a grocery store in there, as well as there's a food service entity. So there has been a mix. It's very hard to predict commercial spaces, but that's what I know of particularly.
Yeah, so I think our strategy to divide it will probably give us a really good average of what we can anticipate.
Okay. So does anyone have any questions specific to this project? Any changes?
Yes.
I was just curious. I know this is a mixed material on the outside as far as the siding goes, but is it going to be is a vinyl or is it going to be a hardboard? I believe what is proposed there is a hardy material, vinyl brick.
Okay.
That's my understanding right now.
And then for design of the exterior of the building, we actually went back to the design committee for Main Street, which is really stringent with keeping the look of downtown be the look of downtown. And they approved it all, which I think says a lot because I know they're very particular, which is good.
But yes, I've got a few comments. I guess I'd like to say that some of the concerns about peak usage during the summertime, in my experience, are about 6 weeks, from July 1 until August 15. I think that's the most density of tourism within Boyne City. Second of all, I'd like to say there's awful lot of buildings, mixed use. I mean, this is a mixed use development. Awful lot of buildings in downtown Boyne City, residential up on top. You look at almost the entire south side of Boyne Avenue is mixed use. So this, I'm looking at this as a mixed use. As far as the distribution of restaurant versus office, again, looking at downtown typical use, it's about a third. As well, you know, and the further you get from the core of the entertainment district, the less likely the restaurant is to survive. I mean, as evidenced by Boyne Murder Inn, is, you know, slow.
But a project like this will also start to extend that area.
Very true. So, I'm looking at the available parking here. And you look at 69 private off-street spaces, and you total up the number of spaces required for residences at 76. So you've got a deficiency of 7 for the residential. Okay, so that can be taken up by a 13 on-street or other parking. And then you have the retail and office are primarily daytime users. So you've got a little bit of trade-off there that, you know, during the day, hopefully most of the residents may be gone at work, driving to their employment, unless the employment is right downtown. So, you know, I'm 23 spaces for the restaurant. Those will be evening or afternoon. So that's kind of the pause up there. As you said, there's a fair amount of parking spaces around there. It would only really be the 6 weeks that could be a real challenge for that restaurant. But then all restaurant space standards.
For parking, though, that's the one advantage of mixed use is being able to utilize
right
parking economically throughout the day when people are working and whatnot.
Right.
Or at least that's...
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where I'm looking at this, and it's, you know, so...
Okay. Any other questions? Just one more comment.
Yeah.
We need to take into consideration that, you know, we're in 2022, not everybody owns a vehicle, and with the parking consideration, you know, I think we gotta consider that. Everybody who lives in that, or potentially going to live in that, is going to be driving a vehicle. So they could just be working in town and walking to work. So, you know, as far as allowing that to go through, I think, you know, we're on the right path and we need to get the variance on the parking.
All right.
So this is actually part of this question. What does the ordinance say about the mixed use residential on the ground floor?
The ordinance was changed to allow that,
okay,
specifically.
I thought this had come up before.
Yeah, and okay, it was amended to allow it with exactly the way they had done it, the entrances from behind, and no presence on the street, so.
Perfect, thank you, Scott.
Just a clarification, Mr. Chair, are we going to, what's the process? Do we have to go through the requirements, findings, and do we have to go, or are we just going to go to discussion, and then do a vote.
Okay. Scott, at this point, wouldn't it be best if we went back to the findings? Or at least on the parts that don't
I think the only change in the findings would be on that parking discussion. So I would advise the commission to make a new finding in regards to that. And then if the commission agrees with all the previous findings and requirements, then we can adopt those as an amendment.
Do you understand that, Tom?
Yes.
Have a question?
Okay. So, I'm just guessing when I need to motion, when they're making a motion and or support and or within the process, Mr. Chair, when do you want me to make my...
I understand. At this point, I just want to find out if anyone has any concerns, and then we'll move on to that. And I think we will just vote on just the parts that will be changing and the findings.
Thank you.
I have one, this is just a clarification. And we're assuming that some of these overages in parking will park in a city lot, like the old Lockman lot, probably. Is there an overnight parking issue there for snowplow time? Is overnight parking allowed in the city lots that the city is responsible for plowing?
Some, yes, in this lot.
So would, like, the Falkland lot would be the closest lot to this project?
But I wouldn't even go that far to say I see a parking issue overnight for this. I believe, in my mind, the residential calculations that our ordinance requires is too high. You are asking for a 1.5 spaces per studio. I do not see two cars per studio.
I can't either.
So there's, you know, four spaces right there that would be eliminated. Probably, you know, half of those one-bedroom units are going to have one vehicle. So say, and those require 1.5. So I was just
asking for clarification.
Yeah. So in other public lots, overnight parking is allowed. I'm not sure about the Foshman lot, which is closer. Mr. Kane, is it overnight parking allowed at that lot?
I don't believe so currently.
Yeah. But okay. I guess if it became an issue, then it could be something to look at. In my mind, I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think the residential on-street, the private parking, this facility is providing is going to be ample to serve their residential purposes.
Okay. Okay. Jim, do you have any comments about this? Or?
No, I agree with Scott. I think that 69 parking spaces are provided behind the building, and with 42 apartments, that should be plenty. I mean, we've been working on, you know, this was approved a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and things have gotten worse since then. And this is actually better by 4 parking spots than the original proposal because of the change of commercial, not less commercial use. And the housing situation in our community has gotten worse in the last 3 years, far worse. Prices are up, cost of labor, cost of construction, short-term rentals, everything else. So I strongly support this.
Okay, thank you, Jim. All right, Nicole, did you have any questions?
No, I definitely am all for this process as well. I agree with Skyler's comment that not everybody's owning a car these days. It may be included in the bill. It would be wonderful for, other alternative parking spots, given the entrances and whatnot, maybe bike racks and whatnot, for to utilize those sorts of things. But the people that are going to use this are going to work here. I strongly feel that they're going to be, if I had the option of walking to work every day, I totally would, but I have small children. Well, not so small anymore. Children to attend to. Sometimes you're going to die. Can't do that. But when that time comes, it would be amazing to just be able to walk. I mean, granted, probably not winter time so much, but I firmly feel that we need to provide housing as much as we can for this community.
Absolutely.
And so I'm all for supporting this.
Carl, I'd like to ask, do you have any comments on this or questions?
The only question I do have is that will there be electric charging stations installed in that parking facility? Because at this point in time, with the, not the federal government, but with our governor, placing the emphasis on 20% of the vehicles in the future being electric. And we've only got two charging stations here in the city right now. And normally a charging station is really part of a residential type of situation. And has any thought been given to that with respect to putting 10% of those units with our parking spaces with electric charging stations?
So we have not specifically talked about that on this project, but the two other projects that I'm involved with MCC on, we are making plans for electric charging stations. At least two posts at both projects that account for four parking spaces. That would be, I don't know the exact percentage was of the total, but they're certainly looking at that and making provisions for that at the other projects.
Thank you, Barbara. Good thing to consider.
Well, I think that one of the things that I may bring to the commission itself is that in a lot of ways, consumers energy is willing partner with respect to putting these things in terms of underwriting costs. And so I know that those two charging stations that are over by Disabled Cart are, you know, fairly decently utilized. If you take a look at the Meyer inside of Gaylord, they have got a tremendous amount of these things. And I see this nothing as a way of the future, and especially a new development like this is primarily going to be younger. It is primarily going to end up being adoption of these electric vehicles in the future.
Good. Okay. Scott, I think at this point then, let's just take a look right at, which one would that be? It would be the section I in the development site plan review standards.
And the central business district standards would be section challenge.
Okay.
That speaks specifically to the planning commission in the findings. Okay. The number of spaces, so I would suggest you make that one first, and then the second one for the site plans.
Let's work on the CBD development department's findings. Letter M first, then.
So page 4.
Yep. Okay, so what would be for this project? We have a tool at our disposal to be able to reduce it by 20%. Isn't there additional spaces that would need to come as well?
Well, there's two sections of the ordinance that become relevant here. That's section 24, 20F, and that's the application of the 20% reduction for mixed-use types of developments.
Okay.
And then if that is considered and approved, then that would put it down to 91 spaces, and they're providing 82. So under section 10.5M, the Planning Commission has the ability to reduce the required number of spaces, and you can make a finding that this meets both of those criteria, and you can approve that.
Having a discussion about this, more questions? A motion?
I heard the word motion.
Yes. I'm on I. Mr. Chair, is that where you need the motion?
Yes. I think M is the CBD section.
M is the first handout.
Yep.
CBD.
Yep.
All right, so would this be a motion to accept 20% discount?
Yes, it would be application of that and reduction and approval to reduce the required amount by 9 spaces.
All right, make a motion to apply the 20% reduction as per the zoning ordinance section 24, 20. F, and make a motion to approve a waiver of 9 parking spots for this development.
Okay. I have a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Shoot.
Aye.
McNaughton.
Aye.
Moblo.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Place.
Aye.
Jeff Ross.
Aye.
Monica Ross.
Aye.
Van Domlin.
Aye.
Bauman.
Aye.
Then we still have to work on the standards, correct?
What was the standard?
That was the CUP.
No. Not the reference.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
So now we need to do the CUP.
So the CBD is done, I need to do development plan standards, section I, responsible parking. Basically, you're approving that it does meet the standards based on the previous.
All right, so at this point, I would need a motion for the section I of the review standards. And can we cite the approval of the CBD?
Correct.
Okay. Any motion?
So moved.
Yeah.
How do you want me to word that, Scott?
Yeah.
Well, there's a motion already in the section. So you say to allow the reduction of the required parking spaces on the 69 on-site, 13 public, based on availability surrounding public parking and presented.
Same motion.
Same motion. Okay, I've got a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Got a second. Roll call, Pat.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Place.
Aye.
Jeff Ross.
Aye.
Monica Ross.
Aye.
Van Domlin.
Aye.
Bauman.
Aye.
Shute.
Aye.
McNaughton.
Aye.
Moblo.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mayors.
Well, if you may, you make one final motion.
Yes.
Adopting the findings in total. Those were just the specific.
Okay, part. So we just need a motion to adopt the findings in total.
Yeah. I'll make a motion.
I have a motion to adopt it, and I have a second from
all of us.
Roll call, Pat.
Moblo.
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Place?
Aye.
Jeff Ross?
Aye.
Monica Ross?
Aye.
Van Domlin?
Aye.
Bauman?
Aye.
Shute?
Aye.
McNaughton?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Got anything else?
That's it.
All right. Okay. Let's move on to new business. B, development. For plan amendment for Great Lakes Energy. Scott?
As you may recall, back in 2020, Great Lakes Energy approached this commission for site plan approval of their proposed expansion at the site. It is almost entirely completed. As they began operating, they recognized an issue with the public coming to the wrong place and then needing to go all back onto the road and come back to the public entrance. So this kind of necessitated putting in a connection drive between the two parking lots. See on my staff report, I overlaid it on the aerial. Those two driveways are gone in the parking lot and it's in now. And so it's a 24-foot wide driveway that connects these two parking lots. The net result is the increase of one parking space with the configuration of these. There is some existing trees that are going to have to be removed. There is a landscape plan that has been provided. And there is additional lighting that's going to be installed for this new drive area. This is an amendment to the existing plan. So basically, it comes to you for your review.
And if the planning commission determines that the proposed amendment does not significantly alter the intent of the approved plan and the performance with the ordinance standards, and can have a mutual agreement with the landowner, they can approve it. If you have any specific questions about it, we don't have any answer, and I believe there are some representatives here. They did go to the EDC LDFA today at noon. I believe they made a recommendation for approval, and they also recommended that a sidewalk be installed. I believe maybe at a future date when connections can be made to the other properties.
Correct.
With that,
okay. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to add, or? I think we're good. All right. Well, I'll open it up to public comment at this point. So, any questions about this project? Okay. I'm going to close it to public comment, open it up to the board. Yes, Jeff.
I can tell you from personal experience, this needs to happen. I love Great Lakes Energy, but trying to find out where you need to go over there is not the easiest thing in the world. This literally happened to me the other day when I was trying to get a vote of a true dream. So I totally support this vision.
Any other questions or comments about this?
I think it's a plan that needs to happen.
Yeah.
It just, it makes perfect sense.
Do you think that it changes the current plan that they have by adding this?
It's a plus.
Yeah.
It's a positive.
But I don't think it's substantial enough to have to resubmit the whole plan.
No, if anything, yeah.
Yeah, just a quick, I believe, doesn't Melrose Township still own a strip on that parking lot? And just curious.
They don't own it. Okay. It is in another jurisdiction. It's in Evangeline Township, but it's owned by Great Lakes Energy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Question, would there be any changes to the landscape plan? They would replace some trees?
Yes, landscape plan was provided.
So there is an increase in
Sure, can we address the recommendation to add a sidewalk? Okay. Would that be the appropriate time, Scott? Or is this not a...
I think you talked with the representative to see their feeling about it.
Do you have any questions for the representative?
Yeah. Yes, can you address your thoughts on the sidewalk that was recommended by the EDLF?
Well, as I understand it, the sidewalk would have to be board approved. The recommendation could be made to the board, Great Lakes Energy Board, but the board would have to approve that, the financial component of that sidewalk.
Okay.
We've done a very preliminary estimate. About $50,000 cost to put a sidewalk in, or 700 linear feet in the front. So it's a fair, it's a good size investment.
Sure.
Okay.
And I guess the discussion would have to be made. The sidewalk would serve a purpose if it connected to Shariam's building, connected to the Catholic Church. Am I correct? You'd want it to connect. Not a sidewalk going to nowhere. Right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. But there's currently not a sidewalk there.
There's no sidewalk.
No.
That would be the whole thing.
And that's a whole
different ballgame.
Yeah. And that's not before us today.
No.
But it is a recommendation from one of our boards.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For consideration.
Okay.
By the Great Lakes Energy Board.
Yes. Okay. Any other questions or comments on this? I don't think that this changes, in my opinion, I don't think this changes enough to have to go back to be reviewed. It's definitely a plus or an addition. I'm glad that it was able to be discovered as a solution when you were still working on some of it. So,
I'd like to make a motion then to approve this as an I'll ask them to resubmit.
All right, just a site plan amendment.
Okay, I'll approve it, a site plan amendment to an act.
As shown on the presented plan.
I'm sorry?
As shown on the presented.
As shown on the plan, to not require resubmission of the entire site plan.
I second that.
A motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Shoot.
Aye.
McNaughton.
Aye.
Moblow.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Place.
Aye.
Jeff Ross.
Aye.
Monica Ross.
Aye.
Van Domlin.
Aye.
Bowman.
Aye.
All right, let's move on to new business C.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Genesis Church pre-application review. Scott?
Thank you.
Yes?
Slide parts messed up here.
Oh, no.
Okay. The Genesis Church bought the Masonic building and are submitting to the Planning Commission request for a preliminary review. They are looking at the proposal of adding onto the back area kind of an access, stairs and elevator that would access the existing building. This concept has an extension going out to the alley. So there's you to have a discussion, you just get your feedback.
Okay. So at this point, it's just a discussion.
Just a discussion.
Okay. All right. I'm going to open this up to the public first. Does anyone have anything to ask?
Yes. I'm Greg Carpenter, Jakeway Road, but a member of the church. If you guys know the building, okay, the main entrance is coming off Lake Street. There's nowhere there to provide a cutout to drop people off. Okay, so what we are proposing is on the backside of going on the dentist side, I guess that would be the north side, of going to the property line. On the south side, going within 5 foot of the property line to put a sidewalk going all the way to the front. And going all the way to the back property line, like down the street a little bit, is a garage that's right on that same property line. What we would be doing with this area is allowing parishioners to come through the alley to come in back, so it's safer to drop off. Also making it alley level to come in to get to an elevator if they're handicapped to go down into the basement part of the building, and then also up to the main floor. And to provide a little covering in the back, inclusive of the lot line, to get a place out of the rain while you're trying to get through the door. And so this takes care of a safety issue that we have for handicapped to be dropped off in front, where they can utilize that in the back, even though the front would be open for people parking and coming over the street. We have no off-street parking whatsoever because it's an old village.
No. Yeah.
And so that's what we want to obtain in that perimeter. It very well could be smaller, you know, but we've, being unlimited funds, as churches usually are, we want to come back to these areas and then see when, if we can get the consensus here that it's okay, that we would proceed to design so we could come in for a full approval. So if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
All right. Any other public comment? Okay. I'm going to close public comment and open it up to the board. So, Scott, back in the proposed area, there is no parking back there?
No.
No. Okay.
Did I mention something real quick?
Not really.
Okay.
Scott, what are the parking requirements for it? For a church, I mean, because this is...
They are pretty much the same as a community center or lodge, what this was. Mm-hmm. So this is basically grandfathered in for that. If they added space, like you know, space or, you know, community space, then they would have to meet parking requirements or establish some kind of agreement or have a approach to planning from waiver. But that's not what they're doing. This is just access only, so it doesn't really compute into the parking.
Use hasn't changed. Okay, so that's the real key, is it was a community assembly building.
Yeah.
And that's still a assembly.
So it's basically, those are the same as what it is going to be used as now, so it's grandfathered.
Okay.
Tom, do you have any questions?
I guess, you know, my question is, as far as economic development within that corridor, as was in our previous information, I don't see a church fitting into that as well as a development of some type. But that's not for us to decide. And Scott just answered parking issues. The parking is not for us to decide because it's being grandfathered in. So I guess my comment is I wish you the best of luck, and I wish that it could have a different use, but that's beyond our scope. So
on the survey, it shows that extension going out through the alley. That is the paved edge of the alley.
Right.
Are there anticipated door openings or?
Yes, so it will be a door opening coming right off the alley in the back. So somebody
will swing out into the alley?
It'll swing according to code.
Which is?
Right.
Inset.
But the other thing is that there'll be a little cove in there.
Okay.
So the door will not be out at the very edge.
Okay.
It'll be a place where somebody can get in or underneath the overhang of the building and then come inside.
Yes?
In the ordinance, we have the tools to even create this kind of variance for them to zero
that line. On my memo, on the second page there, it refers to that section of building placement.
Mm-hmm.
And it says buildings may be built at lot lines with no setbacks, or the average setback of other buildings on the block is determined by the planning commission. The commission may require greater setbacks in such space, and their determination is needed for off-street parking or other requirements. The intent of the placement is to provide for visual as well as transition between CBD and other adjacent districts. So you do have the ability to approve a zero setback.
Okay, thank you.
But for this type of use to be able to utilize the building, kind of fits.
In essence, we're talking about an airlock.
Yep.
I have a question. Is it possible that you could have that door open? Like you had, I can't remember what the width of that space is. And you said
the front to back?
Yeah.
15 foot.
Would it be possible for it to open into the side rather than, you said you probably won't have that entire space covered with this structure you're putting up?
Well, we're kind of going to the max, and then if we can tighten it up on the sides or whatever like that, on when we come back for the final approval, then that's where it would shrink up. But to have, it already has a set of stairs that goes down into the basement.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a door on the upper right-hand side to go into the building upstairs. So we would use those openings in the back end four to get in, and then in the middle have an elevator that'll take the downstairs and going back up. And so that the doors would not be out at the very back of the building. They would be set in within that parameter that we have set up. In fact, presently we're meeting here.
I just wondered, I'm just thinking about the door issue. If it could be facing the sides rather than out into the alley, if that was a possibility.
No, it wouldn't. With the way the stairs go down on the south side of the building, they come right out there. That comes up back towards the alley. When the door going in to the second floor is on the far side, so it's in the middle where the door would have to be, and it would be easier for somebody in a wheelchair to go directly in at that particular point, or you drop them off, you know, family of 10 or whatever, you drop them off and they go right inside.
Yeah. Okay, that was my only question.
Yes.
Do you need all 15 feet, Ken? Because the average elevator is not 15 feet deep.
True, but the stairs that you have to put into, because let's say, God forbid, there's a fire and you got 100 people in there, they're not all going to get in the elevator to come out. So you have to have room in there to get a set of stairs from the upper floor out, as well as from the downstairs out. Yes, they will have access on the front of the building, but we're trying to cover all bases that way to, let's say in the wintertime, dad comes by and there's a mom and four kids. He's going to stop there and let them off, but he's going to go find a parking spot, which we've talked, like there's like a handshake agreement around. If we would have asked for a third story, then we would have had to go through the parking requirements, and then those handshake agreements would have to be a formal agreement that you guys would approve the parking requirements. But we're not adding that space on or anything like that. This is just strictly for safety and an elevator space. We can't put the elevator space inside because they built this building really good. It's a concrete floor. We have to add it on the outside of the building. So we hope to not take all the 15 feet up, but we want to know that we could, as a preliminary style, and then get the stairs to go up and the stairs to go down.
We don't want any more square foot created than we need to make it happen. Currently, there are no stairs from the back, the alley side of the building, from the second floor.
Well, there is, but it's a metal.
It's not a stairway.
But we want to use the same entrance upstairs for parishioners to go upstairs. There is a concrete set of stairs out the back, and so those all protrude into that 15 foot.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at a 8 foot wide stair, 2 4 foot wide runs, and a 4 foot corridor, that'd be 12 feet. Yeah. And a 6 foot elevator, or 8 foot elevator, again, a 4 foot corridor, you know, up to 12 feet. So that would be hopefully what you could do, but you'll have to work it out with your designer.
Right, yes.
No. Okay, so for this project, for this addition, I'm all for it. I think that it's a really good use, just to get this building used for something.
Yes.
And cleaned up, and just the act of that's going to be really helpful. There's no one needed at this point. It's just a preliminary meeting to let them know what type of concern you have. Then they'll come back to the master plan.
Yep.
Anyone else? It's
a reasonable request.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyone doesn't have anything else to add? I think that's pretty good. You guys kind of have an idea?
Yep. We've got an idea that we'll make it as efficient as we can. But being a church, we don't want to have to design it two or three times.
But you are, like you said, you are on a budget. Trying to figure it out is kind of probably going to be the driving force.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
Thank you very much for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to staff report. Scott?
I just wanted to let you know that the planning department does have a new assistant planner, Bonnie Chantona. She started on the first week of April.
Okay.
She's familiar with the area, and so
as it said, this is past that meeting.
That is pretty sad.
I know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'd have had a party for you if we don't in advance.
Don't know at this point. Applications were due in today, and I understand that there were four, I believe, that they're looking at. So, yeah. I'll miss you guys. It's been a riot. I've learned a lot. I have learned a lot, yes. And I used to say, I am only the recording secretary. I don't have to make the decisions.
You're part of the team.
Yeah.
I'm part of the Boyd family.
Scott, is there anything else? Okay. Let's move on to good of the order. You okay?
Butterfly gardens are moving forward. Kind of waiting on weather. Waiting for my plants to kind of sprout up so I know which is which before I start putting them elsewhere. So I'm hoping this week, or next week at the latest, to start at the river. I already started down here at the water park and I'll be looking for volunteers. So I know Mark back there, he's going to help.
All right. Anything else? Okay, we also have to welcome a new board member.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Greatly appreciate your input. This is going to be good. All right. And at this point, I just need a motion for adjournment.
A motion for adjournment.
A motion.
Second.
In a few seconds. all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. I'll see you back here.